Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Beauty Talk. I'm your host, Janice Tunnell, for today, June 10th. And today we're going to be speaking with makeup artist Brandilyn Fulton. But before we speak with Brandilyn, I want to give her a chance to call in. And if she's on the line, please push the option to speak with the host. Well, I think I see her now. But I'm going to throw it over to my sister, Denise, because she has some beauty news to share with us.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Beauty Lounge. I just wanted to give you a couple of brief announcements. Next week's show, June 17th, that's Father's Day. And if you can join us, please do so at 9 p.m. We will be joined by Cheryl Morrell and Corey Stoddard of Makeup Artist Magazine. And they're going to call in and talk about IMATS LA that's taking place on June 23rd and 24th in Pasadena, California, at the Pasadena Convention Center. So if you're interested in that show or if you just want to check out our show next week. Join us, and those will be our guests, and we'll talk all about IMATS and what's to come June 23rd and 24th. Sunday, June 24th, we will not have a show that night because, of course, we will be traveling back from IMATS. So if you can, just check out the archive shows and get caught up on anything that you may have missed. Sunday, July 1st, is our Favorite Things show. So join us and check out our favorite things and call in with any comments that you have based on any of the things, any of the products that we talk about. And also, if you can call us and share what your favorite things are. So we're looking forward to listening to what our listeners have to say about their favorite products. It could be hair products, nail products, skincare, makeup. Anything beauty related, just call in with what your favorite things are, and we will have a few surprises that night. So please stay tuned and encourage your friends to join us on Sunday, July 1st, and each and every Sunday night at 9 p.m. here on Blog Talk Radio.
All right. Thank you very much. I just want to remind you all that are out there listening via computer, if you have a question or a comment, please call us at 914-803-4399. Again, that number is 914-803-4399, and push the option to speak with the host. And same thing goes for those who are listening by phone now. Just press the option to speak with the host if you have a question or comment. And as always, you're welcome to join us in the Beauty Lounge as well. And I'd just like to say a quick hello to all of those who may have signed on in the Beauty Lounge. Hello, Brandilyn. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I am wonderful. Thank you for joining us tonight.
Oh, thanks for having me. I'm excited.
Cool. I see a lot of Detroit people on the line.
you know, I always have to represent.
Hey, I hear you. Why don't you start off by letting our listeners know who you are, because there may be some people that are out there listening that are not familiar with you, but just give us just a quick summary of how you got started in makeup and where you are now.
Good evening, everyone. I'm Brandilyn Fulton. I am from Detroit, Michigan. I live in New York now. I've been here for almost 3 years. I am a makeup artist. And also I make and style wigs. So I also style hair and make wigs as well. And I've been doing makeup for, well, next year will be 10 years. So I'm excited to celebrate my 10-year anniversary doing the same thing. I've been doing wigs for about 5 years. And I actually started working at a makeup counter when I was in college. And I realized that I really enjoyed it, so I kind of switched gears. I was an economics major at the University of Michigan, and I ended up dropping out of school for 2 years, running around doing makeup and working at makeup counters and traveling back and forth to New York and L.A. and Toronto, just kind of building my experience and taking classes. And then I went back to school and actually finished my degree in theater design and production and sociology. So that's kind of where the wigs came into play, because I was really interested in tailoring my degree into what I was doing, like, you know, in my work. So that's most, you know, regional theaters and, you know, smaller theaters, you know, you're required to do hair and makeup. So I started assisting wig and makeup designers backstage at my school and getting college credit. And so that's kind of how I do both. So I'm actually a makeup artist that's really good at doing hair. Sometimes people think that I'm better doing hair than makeup, but that's definitely not true. And so now that I'm in New York, I spend my time pretty much doing makeup. Well, I am a Broadway makeup artist swing, so I swing at The Lion King and at Mary Poppins. I also am a swing in the wig department at Evita, the musical. So people who don't know what a swing is, basically I get called in when people go on vacation or people get sick. So it's definitely like the ultimate freelancer lifestyle. Like, I remember one time I had just flew in from, I don't even know where I was coming from, I think I flew in from Detroit, and I turned my phone on and they're like, can you be at the theater at noon? And it was like 8 a.m. Like, that's very much so, it could be the life of a swing. I do a little bit of TV, some media and press work, and I also still do a lot of designing for wigs and makeup for theater. And so I kind of go back and forth between the beauty and fashion and theater world, and I'm very, very blessed that, you know, production work, depending on the time of the year, can pick up. But if that's not really happening, then I can still do, like, events with different makeup companies. So I freelance with, like, Makeup Forever and Stila. I freelance with MAC, but I haven't freelanced with them in a while. So that's kind of a very quick snapshot of who I am. I'm very happy that I've been freelancing now since September strictly. Prior to that, in New York, I was an intern at the Juilliard School in the wig and makeup department. They have a professional internship program, so while millions of people think that I went to Juilliard, I'm not that talented. I just worked there for 9 months, and that's how I was able to learn how to make wigs. And then from there, I was a wig and makeup supervisor at a theater in Long Island. And then from there, I am now strictly freelancing, and I'm very excited to sometimes not have work, and I'm very excited to be working from, I don't know, 5 a.m. to 11 p.m. when you get off sometimes at night at the theater. So my career kind of, it just kind of depends on the day or what's more, what's happening in the industry. Is it, you know, is it Fashion Week? Is, you know, theater is 24/7, 365, thank goodness. So I'm always busy with that, and then I have some TV stuff here and there. So I kind of mix it up. I'm not really in one particular place just yet.
Now, is that your goal, though, to just be in one particular place?
My goals have changed since I've moved to New York, which is really weird. I always tell people, you can only be so prepared, and then you kind of just get into the midst of things, and as you learn and grow, you kind of see where your career is taking you. I love where I'm at, like, giving me the opportunity to it's giving me the opportunity to gain experience and to really build my network. I know that, you know, when I probably get married and have children and kind of want to be more settled, I probably will end up in one area of the industry more than another, just based on the stability factor. But right now, it's just me and my dog, Chewy. So people that know me, they know Chewy is very much so a part of my life. So you know, having a dog, that's all I need, and it allows me to kind of be in more areas. But and my goal probably would be, as of right now, it could change tomorrow, but my goal right now is to be considered more of a educator or more of an expert in the beauty industry. And so right now I'm just building my like I said, my experience, it's building my exposure, building my network, so that all these experiences will allow me to reach the masses as well as reach out to people in the industry. And I think I kind of do that now on a very small scale, but as I grow and continue to be more in the industry, I would love to be more, to reach the masses. So that's kind of ultimately where I would like to end up. So that could mean me writing a book. That could be me being more on-air beauty expert, or that could mean that I work specifically with the company and more like product development. But right now I feel like the only way that you can be, the, in my opinion, the best way to be those types of things is to be down, getting your hands dirty, knowing how things go from one end of the spectrum, and then maybe you might end up on another. So that's kind of where I'm at now.
Absolutely. Very good, very good. Well, a couple of weeks ago, you were in the chat room on listening to one of our shows, and there was something that you you put out there you wanted to talk about.
I'll
let my sister lead into that.
Okay,
yeah,
great. Yeah,
it was the show with Viola Nicholson, and I think I made the statement. I think I was talking about makeup artists who either study, you know, like the veteran artists or makeup artists who. Oh, is that Chewy?
Yes, sorry. He gets a little excited sometimes. I'm really sorry.
It's okay.
Oh, my God. And the guy probably thought it was like a massacre going on over here. Sorry.
Yeah. But makeup artists that are studying or they admire the work of a veteran artist. As makeup artists, I was asking this question. As makeup artists, do we simply copy what they do? Or do we take the time to learn our craft and develop our own style?
If you would like, so this is, I think, I always like to think before I speak. I think that, you know, when you look at an artist and you see their style and you want to, you know, that is what you are attracted to, it is perfectly okay to want to learn how they do things or maybe assist them or maybe ask them, you know, what did you use or what type of products are you using. But at the end of the day, it to really be a true artist, it's going to take you figuring out how to do what they did on your own and making it your own, which means you – have to sometimes, you may not necessarily go out and buy those exact products, but you can try by practicing to get those types of looks or something of that nature with your own practice. I find that you don't have to necessarily copy, because if you do, then really you're not contributing anything new to the industry, and it just really doesn't make much sense, because why would you want to just copy someone else's work? I think that, you know, if you're really into the industry and you really love what you do and you want to be, you know, you want to be, you want people to know you and know your work, you have to still make it your own. So that's why you have to get various experiences from all different types of people, and different artists, because that's the only way you're going to get that. It's going to come more organically. It can't just come from one particular source.
Right. Right. And we have Desiree Stovall in the chat room. She wants to tell you hello.
Oh, tell Desiree hi. And she owes me a phone call.
So I know you heard that, Desiree. question for you. You a few minutes ago when you were giving your introduction, and right at toward the end, you talked about different things that you could possibly go into later in your career. And you said to be all of those things, or to possibly be all of those things, you feel like you need to be actually working, I guess, as a way of preparing to get there. A lot of times I see, and, you know, I don't know everything about every person, but a lot of times, especially with social networking, we can only see what someone allows us to see, meaning what they tweet about or what they post on Facebook or what have you. So some things you can only make assumptions. There are a lot of artists out there, or a lot of people who may even be, haven't even seen bloggers, who are bloggers, but they may also call themselves beauty experts. But you really don't know anything about them as far as what they do as far as being makeup artists, for those who say they are makeup artists. And because I totally agree with you, I feel like in order for you to, you know, one day maybe be a product developer, or one day being an on-air beauty expert, or one day being this, or one day being that, I feel like you need to get your hands dirty, and you need to just jump in, and you need to be working, so that you kind of played around with several products. And so then when you go to be a product, you know, you work for some other brand and to help develop products for them, you kind of know what needs to be done, or what the industry is missing, and what, you know, what you could bring to helping someone with another product. How do you
I was going to say, not necessarily also just, you know, have played around with the product, but have used the product on a different, you know, different faces besides your own.
Right.
Absolutely.
Right. Absolutely. So how do you feel about that? How do you feel about those people who call themselves experts, but you don't really see they don't talk about what has led them up to that? A lot of times we don't know what kind of experience someone has, you know, but they call themselves product experts, or not product experts, but beauty experts.
I feel that there's this industry, and actually these are things I've learned even just since moving to New York, which has only been a little under 3 years, that there are so many different roles that people play in the industry. And you're right, there are people who have a very are very opinionated about beauty, and they're very excited and very enthusiastic about beauty and product, you know, knowledge and things of that nature. And I feel that there is definitely a place for them, but I know for me, and where I truly value the most information is from people who have been able to, you know, who have a long history, not even a long history, because, you know, I mean, just because you've been in the industry for 30 years doesn't mean that you are contributing new information. But I feel that there's a place for a lot of different people in the industry. And I think that that you have to definitely, you know, their opinion is very much so valid, but you have to also, you know, you have to look at where their opinions are coming from. So when I was just at dinner with some friends last night, and you know, they got to ask me about beauty products and this, that, and the fourth, and I was telling them about different things, and they were like, oh, so do you wear that? And I said, no. I was like, I don't wear that, but based on what you're telling me, I think that this would be best to suit your needs, but I wouldn't wear that for myself because that doesn't suit my needs. And I felt that that was a very good example of how where I feel like the expert status pretty much can come from, because I want to be able mm-hmm. to assess other people's needs based on my experience with products.
Right.
And I can't really speak for other people and, you know, and their role in the industry, but I do believe that there's a definite place for them. I just know that not that I have any less respect for anyone, but I just feel that I truly, truly emulate and I love and I look up to, and my role models and some of my mentors in the industry are people who have really been able to say, yes, I've tried these products on set, or this worked in this environment, but then worked in that environment. But there are people who have chemistry backgrounds, or who have, you know, product testing, you know, backgrounds, or, you know, marketing backgrounds or something. You know, they may have a different experience, but I know with my own place in the industry and with the work that I do, I need to be able to rely on sources that people have been in the same shoes that I've been in, where I'm the one applying the makeup, so I need to know for sure what's going on.
Right.
So that's kind of how, I mean, you know, I really like to be careful because, no, I don't want to, A, offend anyone, and, B, I don't want to make someone feel that their voice is not important, because I do feel that there's a place for them. However, as artists, we need to be careful that, and I think that that's why I so much want to be more of an expert, because I want to be able to bring that to the table. And so, and a lot of people, when they ask me for my opinion, they do value that in me because they know that I am pounding the pavement every day or most days of the week and I'm using these products and I'm trying them out, and I'm not just, and that's why I still do retail work, because, you know, or beauty events, because it gives me a chance to talk to people who are, you know, everyday people, not your models, not your, you know, Broadway stars, not your movie, you know, actresses or what have you. These are people like, you know, just like your everyday people that come to the MAC counter or come to the, you know, Bobby Brown counter or come to Ulta or Sephora. Like, those are just as important. Those experiences and those connections I make with people help me to be a better artist when I am on set working with that one particular client. So it's, I think that there's definitely a place for people in the industry. It's just a matter of, you know, where their experience comes from, and then that can tell you whether you want to value their opinion for your work or for what you need to try the product out for.
Right. Absolutely. Well, I'm going to take a quick phone call before we get on with our next question here. And they're calling from the Baltimore area.
Okay.
Hello.
I'm not sure what that call about.
Hello. Hello, caller. Okay, I guess they don't want to talk.
Oh, no. Call back.
No, they're still on the line. They're just not, I guess they didn't, who knows.
Hopefully
okay.
They'll come back here.
Well, you just mentioned retail work. You still do retail work. And that led me to, I thought about something that I saw online on one of the social networks, I think it was earlier this week, and it was just some comments made about retail work at the counters. And I will say, I know that my experience, back in the day, I used to freelance for Bobby Brown and a couple of other lines, but Bobby Brown was the bulk of my, you know, counter work.
Mm-hmm.
And I know there were times where I felt like, you know, I feel like, you know, sometimes we're just here just to sell, you know, and some of the products that they kind of wanted you to push on everybody and anybody. But for me, working at the counter, working on a television show, working out of my house, whatever, I applied the same things. You know, like I would always try to help people with whatever. You know, if
mm-hmm.
they were at the Bobby Brown counter, I'll try to help you as best I can at the Bobby Brown counter. If there's not something here that suits you, then I will kind of direct you in the direction of where I think you may need to go. So,
mm-hmm.
What I was going to say. Okay, so my question to you is, because there were some comments made about the counter, like they felt like I don't want to say exact words, but I assume they felt like you know, the artist is there just to sell. Maybe we're there. We can't, I guess, I'm trying to put it in a nicer way, but, you know, the artists are there, I guess, just to sell.
Right.
Some people.
I know
some
where you're
people,
getting at.
You know where I'm going. Okay, I'm just trying
yes,
to keep
I
it
mean,
nice.
I mean, I've been, you know, I've worked, you know, in retail to the point where I have a sales goal or, you know, now I just kind of freelance. So I go in when I just have days I just kind of want to connect the dots, you know, with other projects and things of that nature. So, you know, sometimes I'm given a sales goal and, you know, let's keep it real. It's a recession. Like people may need, even if it's not a recession, you don't, I never want to feel like I'm pushing anything down anyone's throat. Like that's just personally an awful feeling. And I don't like when I'm put in that predicament as a consumer either. And so I find that when working with certain brands, you know, I'm going to still do the best job I can, but, you know, there's only so much you can do to make the person purchase the product. So, well,
right.
Yes, I am here to sell, but at the end of the day, the decision is up to the consumer. So
mm-hmm.
what I do is I provide as much information because I feel like the more informed that you can make the consumer, then the better. And that's kind of why, you know, freelancing works out for me because at the end of my little time, I mean, I'm going home and I hope that you enjoy
mm-hmm.
working for your company and that's pretty much it.
Right.
And I think that, and that's why I do like sometimes doing beauty events in Ulta and Sephora because I feel like the retail industry has changed somewhat slightly to a more open environment where, you know, you are in a situation where there's thousands of products at the consumer's hands. You're not just sitting at one particular counter and being shown,
right.
like, that one particular line. So sometimes I like going into these stores now because, you know, the line understands that, you know, you can show them as many products from one company, but some people like the fact that they you can say, okay, well, yeah, you can look at this and this. I'll tell you the benefits. And actually, it's kind of helped because it's helped me be more it helped me be more knowledgeable because if someone wants something from a particular line that's not the line that I'm being paid to represent, that's okay because I can show them that and then maybe add on something else that that is from the line that they want me to sell. But at the end of the day, I'm a very much so a type of person. I know I'm a good makeup artist, but if the person only wants to spend $25, that's all they wanted to spend. Sorry if you want every sale to be $75. Like, that would have never happened regardless because the person
right.
only wants to spend $25. So, you know, there have been some situations where the environment makes me feel uncomfortable as an artist, but I try to always find companies and I also try to find locations that benefit or that not that benefit, but that really find that having great artists are resourceful because people want to look beautiful and they want to learn and they want to be told, you know, the right thing to do. And if not, you know, it's kind of one of those things where I still did my job. And so I always, you know, it's a very thin line between, you know, with the retail environment and, you know, it is what it is. We all know that companies have goals to make. That's what money makes the world go round. Like, this is not something that we all don't know. So I still like to take the opportunity to do the best I can as an artist because that's what I'm here for. But I also,
right.
you know, do the best I can to learn from the situation to be a better person in general. So that if that means that this product didn't work for that customer because they didn't want that, well, this is going to push me outside of my comfort box to say, okay, well, let me show them, you know, these other products and still work in maybe a gloss from this line. And so, you know, it's kind of one of those things where I still try to always do the best job I can and learn from it. So, you know, there are customers who or clients or, you know, consumers that, you know, oh, I like this, but this is outside of my price range. Well, I feel the same way. I would feel that way if I was at the Cadillac dealership or the Bentley dealership, too. Like, this is out of my price range, so I need to, you know, move to something that isn't my price range. And you have to respect that, just being, like, you know, human to human. So I kind of just
right.
take that like that.
Well, you know, and I have to agree with that. And I also have to say that back when I was freelancing with Bobbi Brown in particular, at that time, they were like the highest selling brand in the department store in Nordstrom's, even, you know, more so than Mac. But there were times when I would direct a customer after they've been over at the Bobby counter, I would direct them to other brands in the department when there was like something that they wanted may have been a foundation or something that just did not match their skin tone or something. Because at the end of the day, it's about helping the client.
Right.
But we all, but as artists, we have to know, this, that if we are working at a counter, a particular brand, we have to know automatically that their goals, their number one goal is to sell. I mean,
right.
That's what they do in the store.
Absolutely.
So, you know what I mean? So whether they're pushing you to reach certain goals. I know back when I was, like I said, Bobby was the highest selling brand. So, of course, their goal was to sell, but it wasn't like they weren't like pushing so hard because I guess at that time it just came really easily. You know what I mean?
Right.
They were bringing in a lot of money, so it wasn't. It didn't seem like the focus was sell, 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 even though the focus was sell, sell, sell.
Right.
So, you know, so they weren't really pushing you so hard. But like I said, you have to know as an artist that's the goal.
Right.
So either you like it
or you don't. Right.
And
I'll
you
just
don't
be honest
like
and keep it real. Like, if I, like for me personally, there are, you know, I'm just pretty new in freelancing here in New York. So there are certain things I have to do in order to maintain, you know, one, to keep myself busy and also to maintain, you know, a certain level of income. So retail is definitely still very much a part of how I do that in between the projects that I, you know, have taken on. And so I know going into the situation what it is, but the way that I look at it is that I'm here to, you know, for this one brand, but I'm definitely looking at other brands, seeing what's going on. It's an opportunity for me to learn. I don't, you know, when I'm on set at 5 a.m. and I don't get home to 11, I don't get to know about the new products or what's hot or this, that, and the fourth. So while I'm there selling, it's also a time for me to take in information as to what's going on in the real world, which is very much so important as an artist in general. So if you're doing one thing every day, all day, and that's the same, the only thing that you're doing, how do you know what's going on with everyday people? And so that, for me, I use, not even use, but I try to see the silver lining in everything. And I think that, you know, yeah, I might be here to sell $1,000 worth of product, but I'm going to enjoy myself. I'm going to learn from my clients to see what their needs are. I'm going to see how this line can best benefit them. And if not, I'm still going to make this a great educational experience for everyone that's involved.
Right. Absolutely. And plus, it's just an opportunity to touch another face. The more faces
exactly
you touch, the better you get at whatever it is you do.
Exactly.
So I just think it's, like I said, it's an opportunity to learn.
Exactly.
So, again, I want to just remind those people who are out there listening, if you have a question or comment, the phone number is 914-803-4399. Again, it's 914-803-4399. This retail question I just started talking about has prompted a discussion in the chat room about
I'm just trying to do two things at once. I see.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah.
But you see what I'm saying? Uh-huh.
Yes.
Okay. Well, I think my sister has, I think a couple of questions she wanted to bring up as well.
So I want to go back definitely to the first question that we asked at the top of the show, because there's something else, another component to that I want to deal with. But before we do that, the next topic that I wanted to discuss was it's something based on a blog post that I saw recently. So basically, the question that I want to ask, that I want to put out there, not just for you, Brandilyn, but for everybody that's on the phone line, in the chat room. I kind of want to get everybody's opinion on this next question. And so basically, when blogging about someone else's work, how far should a blogger go? Now, recently, I saw a blog post on Twitter, you know, and so basically it gave you a link that took you to that person's blog, and it was a blog post, I don't know if you all saw it, about Lisa Rae's eyeshadow that she wore on a particular episode. So it was about this yellow eyeshadow or something. I don't really watch the show, so I don't know what it looked like. I could only go from the pictures that were on a blog. And so she went on.
And the show that she's speaking of is Single Ladies, just in case you all didn't know.
Yeah, I think that's the only show Lisa Rae's on.
Well, I'm just letting you know.
Okay, so so basically she goes on to talk about another makeup artist who expressed her disapproval. Those are the words that she used, her disapproval of Lisa Rae's eyeshadow. And then she goes on to say, personally, what she would have loved to see with the shadow, and how I think the part about the whole blog that really, I guess, bothered me was when she went on to say that the makeup artist for the show should have experimented with this, that, and the third. So I'm just wondering, you know, everybody's entitled to their opinion, but how far is too far? You know, when you go on to say what the makeup artist should have done, then I have to come back at you and say you weren't working on the show. So
right.
How can you get into that makeup artist's head to know
you
why
have no
they
idea
use
what, decision
what they use?
Exactly.
You're not, you know, this person is the department head of this show. They created this look. They designed this look. They designed the look for the show, period. So you have no idea, you know, what they have going on in their head. Not just that, but in film and TV, even on stage, film, TV, and stage, we create characters. This
exactly.
is not your everyday, around-the-way boo, you know, who's wearing a street makeup. This is a character. Although she looks like she's, you know, just a round-the-way girl on this television show, she's still a character.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's what television, film, you know, theater artists do. They create characters. So how do you all feel about that? And again, how far should a blogger go? I mean, I know she's expressing her opinion, but to me it looks like it was a little more than just her opinion.
It's funny because I did watch that show. I was with a group of people, and that was the yellow eyeshadow was definitely a topic amongst several people. So the difference is that, you know, we were in the privacy of someone's home, and no, we're not broadcasting our opinions or whatever to,
exactly.
you know, to the universe. And
exactly.
so this actually can be generalized, not just for this particular situation, but just in general, the amount of opinions or just the reason why people feel the need to stay on a soapbox via the internet. And I just personally feel like, you know, my mother always taught me, and I think my mother is listening, so she will be proud at this moment. But, you know, some things you just need to keep to yourself, like, period.
Right.
And it's okay to use an example, you know, to talk about something in a sense to help other people understand what's going on. But you're right. Television, and same thing with theater, it is not solely the makeup artist's decision as to what that person looks like. So you
exactly.
can't criticize the makeup artist, because if you work in a production environment, there are so many people's opinions that go into making the decision as to what that person looks like. So if I would have saw the article, I would have just, you know, thought, okay, either A, you're being too opinionated, or B, you have no clue what really goes on to even get that person on TV. So that just says a lot about, you know, your experience.
What was so funny was she had 211 views and no comments. Now, I do see now there's one comment out there, so I don't know. Maybe it was the guy who did the makeup, Keetrick, because, we talked about it, and so he, I don't know, he probably went out there and put a comment on there, but I'm going to check that out. But, I mean,
this can be discussed, not just, like I said, in this particular situation, but we see everyone has an opinion, and everyone is entitled to their opinion, but you need to be careful. I have an opinion, best believe it, people that know me personally, Brandlyn has an opinion, but I just don't feel it necessary to broadcast those types of things. Same thing with your personal business, like online, because you have no idea who
right.
is listening, who is looking at you, and you could have just literally cut your own neck off. So it's like, or cut your own head off. Like, and I'm to the point now where I may not like something, I may not care for something, I may think it's awful, but, you know, that doesn't necessarily mean that I need to go broadcasting that to the masses. And I actually do have a blog post on my own blog, you know, bstandsforbeauty.com, where I talked about concealer. It's actually one of my highest viewed articles, which I never really thought. But, and I used certain images to talk about certain issues
right.
that people have. But I made sure in bold letters that this has nothing to do with the makeup artist or the
right.
celebrity. These are issues
right.
that people email me and say, this happens to me. How can I change this?
Right.
And so the best way to talk about certain issues is to find a picture so that we can communicate, you know, via image. But,
right.
you know, I'm not going to sit here and discredit someone else's work because you never know what could have happened. You know, I may think that someone's work is not this or that, but it really doesn't matter because they got paid for the job, they got hired, and the people who hired them or the people who they're doing the makeup on, they can make the determination whether it's good or bad. But you're in the peanut gallery. Have a seat. Like, it
right.
really, really, it really, really bothers me because I feel that you, if you really want to move forward in your career, and this is just in any career, not just makeup artistry, you never know who's going to be the person to reach out to you to give you that job, to give you that opportunity. And if you go, you know, if you're too slick with the mouth and you always got an opinion and, you know, people are not going to want to necessarily be around that, and people or may not trust you in your position because they may feel that you're irresponsible with your words, so you're not going to be responsible to do the job or to take care of your responsibilities for the job. So it really speaks volumes. And, you know, I don't know the post, and same thing, I'm not even talking about the girl who wrote the post, but I just think that people need to be very careful because you don't know what you know, happens. And I just know even from
exactly.
theater, even from, you know, working in theater, and I'm sure it's pretty similar in film. I'm not experienced in film, but there are so many people that make a decision or have a say-so into how someone looks.
Absolutely.
That you know, and I think that I've kind of talked about this a little bit in the chat rooms, you know, prior to that, you know, sometimes it comes down to we are the makeup executor. We have, like, we're just doing what has been given to us based on so many other factors. So please don't shoot me because I'm just a person executing what needs to be done. So, you know, I think that social media has given a voice to everyone, which
right.
is great because we all need a voice, and our voices should be heard. But people need to be careful not to alienate themselves based
well,
on their opinion.
Exactly. But and this is how I look at it. You know, I consider bloggers media, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, this is media, this Blog Talk Radio show is media, you know, your newspaper, your magazines, you know, television, whatever, it's all media. So just like when you have news anchors who deliver the news, they don't ever express their opinion, ever.
Right, right, right.
So although this is your particular blog, you know, it's okay, like we said, to express your opinion and to say, you know, this is what I think. Because in this particular type of media, that's what you do. On
right.
blogs, you know, that's what you do. But I think you're going too far when you go as far as to say, this is what the makeup artist should have done.
It, oh, yeah. Yeah.
So when you go to that extent, I think that's when you're going absolutely too far. And I would just like to read just a little bit of what she said, because when, you know, the first time I saw it, it really bothered me, and I started not just to leave a comment, I started to really email her and say, I think you went a little too far, but I decided, you know what, I'm going to stay out of it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to stay out of it. But just the very first sentence was wrong to me, because now you're putting somebody else's name in it. It says, while makeup artist extraordinaire Myla Morales expressed her disapproval of Lisa Rae's trendy lemon eye makeup, why would they allow her to wear yellow neon and yellow eyeshadow? Several young ladies on Twitter expressed their love for the unexpected hue, citing it as dope and fab. Personally, I would have loved to see the yellow used as an accent rather than a wash of color on the entire lid. Also, the makeup artist for the show should have experimented with the lashes or eyeshadow to really make the look more memorable. With her skin tone, it seemed more distracting than flattering. Perhaps if it was more of a lovely muted tangerine shade, I would co-sign.
Okay, but oh, let me stop. This is an internet radio show. I am not on the phone with my girl. Let me just reel
right.
myself in.
But that's the thing. Even commenting on that, you have to like stop and catch yourself. Like, okay, wait a minute.
Yeah, like co-sign. When has anyone ever needed to co-sign on anything except your car note or your house or your, you know?
Pretty much.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Or your student, you know, that good student loan bill or whatever you co-sign on. I don't know. I just, at the end of the day, like I said in the very beginning of the conversation, I was with a group of women and men when that show aired, and people, and it was definitely a conversational topic versus people liking it, not liking it, or whatever. But, like, that's the type of atmosphere I believe that those conversations should stay. But, you know, as a blogger, you are free to do whatever you want on your own blog. But best believe, if you are, a makeup artist, B, a blogger, a beauty blogger or beauty enthusiast, or you have goals and you want to expand your network, that is not the way to do so, because now you have talked about people in a way that you may not necessarily be able to get them. You may have alienated them. They may be like, you know what, I'm good on you. And that's not good, because you never know what opportunities could have come from that relationship that you kind of, you know, ruined before it even got started.
Mm-hmm.
So, mm-hmm. You know, I like I said, she is entitled to her opinion and everything. I tell people all the time, and sometimes, you know, I mean, and that's why I think if people have noticed, I haven't been as active in the chat rooms as I used to be. One, because I've started to become really, really busy, and I'm really kind of taking my downtime and doing some other things with it, but also because it really is an atmosphere for you to jump on the wrong bandwagon, and you will have yourself in a conversation that you really shouldn't be in. And whether you have the right opinion or not, or whether you are giving off good information, I mean, because sometimes people need to be told, you know, you're wrong, or you need to maybe think about it like this or whatever, but I don't think it's really valuable, especially at this point in my career, to be talking so much in chat rooms or talking so much about other people, because I honestly am focused on myself and my own career and trying to, you know, make things happen in my own life. So it's very difficult for me to even understand why people feel the need to just talk so much about something that really has nothing to do with them or their career, and you really can't learn. Like, how can anyone really learn from that conversation? So if you can't really learn and grow from conversations or gather information and educate yourself, why engage in it? So,
And just a couple of quick comments I just wanted to throw out there from earlier. Desiree made some comments that I just wanted to share. I thought they were good points, but I don't see them any longer. She just mentioned –
Oh, wow. They're all gone. Her comments.
Yeah, the chat
but,
room was acting funny.
Yeah.
It took me 30
And even Sharon Tina had a comment that she made, and I don't even see that any longer. Just about basically, you know, people's opinions are their opinions. And even though we're making some comments or we're even sharing our thoughts about this particular blog post, that doesn't mean that what we say is right. And in this situation, no one is saying anything about her being right or, you know, or our opinions being right. And again, we're just saying that we think she went a little too far when she starts to say that what the makeup artist on Single Ladies should have done as opposed to applying the yellow eyeshadow.
Exactly.
And I think that's where we feel like she went a little too far. And even sometimes other makeup artists even making comments about someone else's work on a production like that may even have be a little bit going too far as well. But, you know, people are going to make their comments
and
they're going to say what they're going to say.
You know, it's
yeah.
media, it's controversy, you know. And like I said, I was a part of a very similar conversation in the comfort of someone's home. So I'm definitely not saying
right.
that people aren't entitled to their own opinions. I just like to be careful with my own
right.
brand. And I don't want
right.
to alienate anyone because I want people to, you know, recruit me. I want to be on any and everyone's team that's, you know, moving onward and upward. And that particular makeup artist on that show could be my ticket. So I'm not going to talk bad about someone
right, right,
to the
right.
point where,
absolutely.
You know, and you know, I just try to make sure that people understand that what you say can offend people, and especially social media, it's almost like text messaging, you know, unless you're really talking to someone, you know, face-to-face or over the phone, it's really hard, you know, interpretation is everything, and I just believe that in order to develop your own career and, you know, and I just feel like in order to really learn and empower yourself, you need to have your opinion or, you know, have what you like or what aesthetic you like or, you know, what appeases you. You work towards that. And if that's something that doesn't really, you know, float your boat, then that's something that, you know, you may not do makeup like that or you may not think that that's great or whatever, but you kind of keep that to yourself and you show through your own work what you, you know, how you would have changed that, you know, like you don't have to necessarily broadcast that you didn't like that. You just kind of put that in your, I don't want to do makeup like that, you know, look. But, you know, but at the end of the day, like I said, with productions, some things aren't up to the makeup artist. You have to, you know, if you still want your job, you have to do what's asked of you. And so we have no clue what happened on that set. And if the makeup artist did decide to do that, that's his decision. And you know what? He has the job. So,
right. right. That's the thing. It's bottom line. It's his job. You know, he has control over her look. And, hey, that's what
exactly.
it is.
Exactly.
That's his work.
And then another
he gets
thing,
credit
too,
for it.
That I've also run into is that the actress or the person, you know, the client, the talent, has an opinion as well. And some people
and that's
want
one of the
to
things.
Do makeup the way that they want their makeup done.
Absolutely.
Or they may go and slightly change it. You know, there's so many things that happen that sometimes you just kind of be, you know, you can look at things and just be like, oh, well, I don't really know what happened, but I just know that I would have done this differently, and you kind of keep that to yourself so that when that opportunity comes for you to have the chance to make decisions and to do the makeup the way you want to, then that's when that experience will shape who you are and shape, you know, your aesthetic and how you do things.
And you know what, Brandilyn? That's one of the points that Desiree mentioned is that, you know, Lisa Ray, you know, is a pretty big talent, and she has a lot to say about how she looks. And if it's something that the director or producers approve, if they don't have a problem with that look, then that's what you want to see on whatever night the show comes on. You know what
exactly.
I mean? So Lisa Ray says what she may want. The makeup artist decides to do what he wants.
Mm-hmm.
He's taken into consideration what the director wants, and they're going to go forward with that. And just like you said, you know, we can't really say what they should have done because they did what they felt they were supposed to do, and which we have nothing to do with.
We have nothing to do with.
Right. And there
and
you
know,
go.
And another, I actually have a very, very situation that actually happened 5 years ago where I was working on a show, and this was a period show, like 1940s, and the leading lady, I had to dye her wig because the wig, the original color that the wig was just wasn't working for all parties involved. So no problem, I had to dye it. But I ended up dyeing that wig 3 times because not only did I have an opinion as, you know, what I wanted the hair to look like and kind of the style and trying to keep things, you know, somewhat close to period so that everyone wasn't in 1940s clothes, and then we have this modern hairstyle. But the director, the costume designer, as well as the actress, was very vocal as to how the color of this wig was to look, you know. And so, you know, by the end of the ordeal, all of us were pretty much happy, but it took me dyeing that wig 3 times. And, you know, it still didn't end up being a very period color, but the color worked for that actor or for, you know, for that actress, and it looked very good on her. But, you know, I would love to see a blog post about, well, that hair color wasn't, you know, she should have did this. But if you would know that I dyed that wig 3 times, maybe your opinion, you'd be like, oh, okay, well, maybe I shouldn't have such an opinion, because it was a lot of work to get everyone on board to how her look was going to be. And so that was not only my opinion, the director's opinion, the actress was very opinionated, as well as the costume designer. So you're trying to make 4 people happy. The last thing that, you know, we need, as, you know, being creative, is people who are not part of the process being so opinionated that, you know, they're kind of discrediting all the work that happens behind the scenes to make something happen.
Right. Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. I want to ask a quick question from the chat room before my sister goes back to the question that she had earlier. Santara wanted to know, how did you market yourself on your own?
Well, my marketing strategy, I'm very religious, so I definitely believe in praying about the things that you want and making sure that you put, you know, you have to have faith. But and I really believe that once I started becoming more positive, things started happening more for me. And the best way that I can explain that to other people is you can market yourself by emailing people that you would like to work with. I constantly, when I first moved to New York, I would kind of just drop by different stores and make sure that people, you know, at Makeup Forever, at Alcone, you know, at OCC, people who are in the industry that have, you know, brick-and-mortar places, I would definitely do that. As far as, like, my Broadway experience, I used to drop off my resumes at stage doors once a month. Some months, like I said, I would get a little discouraged, but I constantly did that. I'm constantly picking up the phone and just asking to speak to the person that I need to speak with so that, you know, we can have, even if it's a 2-minute conversation, so that when that email comes through, you'll know who I am, or you'll at least remember me or remember having a conversation. A lot of things that I have done did not manifest immediately. Like, people like, oh, things are working out so well for you, but little do you know, I've been emailing this company for a year. Or little do you know, I literally, you know, would mail my application in, or I would do this or do that. And honestly, one of the best ways to market yourself is to just do a good job. Go in when you, even if it's a free, you know, if it's TFP, if you're making, you know, not the best amount of money, you still want to go in and do an amazing job, because you never know who is going to see your work ethic, and bring you back on. And establishing great relationships with people is important. So while people are so opinionated, this, that, and the fourth, like, you got to be careful, because you want to include people in your circle. And one of my biggest accomplishments here in New York is that I have people who text me and call me saying, hey, I can't do this, but are you available? Or, hey, so-and-so, and so-and-so can sometimes be people that I don't know, people that I randomly became friends with on Facebook because we just are in the same circles, they're like, hey, so-and-so told me to call you because, you know, they say that you do really good work. I don't even know who so-and-so is, but I know them from the Internet or from Twitter or from Facebook or whatever. So I think that, number one, I say I just have, you know, really remained strong in my faith, and I really, you know, have remained positive and, you know, and try to say my affirmations, and I try to do, you know, reach out to other people and to pay it forward. So I definitely try to encourage people who may be just starting out. But at the same time, I'm always going to these jobs, doing a really good job, making sure I leave my business card, you know, emailing people, and just really making sure that you create a brand that's almost bigger than yourself. So a lot of times people are like, oh, you're doing such a great job. And I'm like, man, I'm just brandless folks, and I'm just trying to make a dollar out of 15 cents. Like, I'm not even trying to, you know, be all fancy. And that really is the type of person I am. But I want to make sure that when I market myself, that you know that you're getting someone with experience. You're going to get someone that if I don't know, I'm going to find out the best way to do a certain job. And if I can't do the job, I'm going to refer you to someone who can. And if I can't, you know, like, your referrals are just as important as you. So I limit who I refer people to because that's an extension of myself. Like, all of those things are a part of marketing yourself. And it's not just about, you know, your comp cards and your business cards. And it's about you, the person that you are and the work that you do when you come onto set or when someone calls you. And so that's kind of like a circle of my marketing. You know, I kind of went in a big circle, but that is basically the best way that I have found to market myself. And, you know, I am a makeup show baby. I've been going to the makeup show since the very beginning. I have gone to IMAX several times. I used to go to the makeup shows in Canada, in Toronto when I lived in Detroit. And so I try to make sure that when I'm there, I'm not just buying products. I'm there to network. I'm there to make sure people know who I am. And I, you know, right. And not just about knowing me, but I want them to know, like, I'm available to you. I want you to know how much I can help you and help your brand. Not just, can you give me a job? Can you do this? Can you do that? Like, you know, that's not the best way to get anyone to pay attention to you. If you want to make people to know that they can find you to be an asset for their company or an asset for what they're working on, because then at that point they can value you and take you under their wing or remember you for certain experiences. And so that's also been a major part of my marketing, is that I want to meet as many people and I want them to know what I can do for them and help them out, and so that they, you know, in turn will give me an opportunity to help them out. And I think that that has worked very well for me.
Great. Nice. So let me go back quickly to the first question. And if someone joined either the chat room or signed online or joined the conversation over the phone a little late, I will go back and kind of share what the question was. Basically, I was asking, when studying the work of an artist or a veteran artist, as makeup artists, do we copy what we see or do we take the time to learn the craft and create our own style? And basically what I'm referring to is, I remember years ago taking a class with this makeup artist who she basically taught, you know, highlighting and contouring, but she basically taught it the way Kevin taught it from his book. Mm-hmm. And so basically she just did everything he did and just highlighted down, you know, the forehead, down the center of the face, everything, you know, contoured in certain areas. And basically she was saying, you always highlight this way. You always contour this way. But in order to create, you know, that perfect face shape, you know, we're going to highlight and we're going to contour in certain areas, but each face is different. So do you look at each face and decide what needs to be altered, what needs to be changed to create that, you know, that perfect oval-shaped face? Or do you just highlight down the middle and contour in certain areas because that's how Kevin did it? So do we take the time to, and I know the answer, we all know the answer,
right,
but we take
right.
the time to learn the craft, but I'm just trying to figure out why people don't get it. You have
well,
to understand
what you're highlighting
and what you're contouring.
Well, now, this artist that taught this class, how long had they been in the industry, or like what was their life story?
I don't know what her life story was, but I do know she started out as a hairstylist. And
okay.
But this is during a time period when, you know, it was all about beating the face. So it was all about heavy cream makeup and powder. So we're talking about a different time period as well. You know, everything was heavy. But
right.
you're also talking about somebody who's used to working, you know, doing, like, photos for hair magazines as well.
Well, you know, this is how I best. I think that for me, I'm very blessed to have had various experiences across the board. And when I mean that, I mean I took stage makeup at school, and I took classes at the makeup show where I would, you know, I remember when Sam Fine used to do a lot of stuff with MAC, or John Hennessy was, you know, at the MAC store in Toronto. And, you know, I remember sitting in on, you know, I can't remember her name, but I went to another, I think it was like IBS a few years ago, and I took a class with a bridal makeup artist. And I still take class. I still sit in on classes with people. And I honestly can say that my way that I do makeup is a combination of all of these experiences. I can't particularly tell you I do my makeup like this because so-and-so does their makeup like that. Like, that makes absolutely it doesn't make much sense. And I feel that artists need to realize if you don't know how to do something or if you need to learn something, yeah, you can buy someone's DVD or you can watch someone's YouTube video, but what else are you doing to really make sure that you know how to do that? Because you can't just, it's almost like, this is what I tell people all the time when it comes to makeup, you don't cook with one seasoning. Like, you use salt, you use pepper, you use garlic, you use, you know, cayenne pepper, you use basil leaves, you use several things to make a dish. And that should be the same approach that we have to building our experience and to build our own, our own knowledge. And, you know, I know that there are some people or some makeup artists or educators, you know, granted, you can show someone how to do something and you can say, no, that's not right. Or that doesn't look, you know, that's not going to work in this environment. But for you to ultimately be like, no, that's not right, to me, because I meant to say, you know, you can tell someone, okay, well, that may not work in this environment. But it's very, very bold to just flat out say, no, that's not right. You know, because every experience, you know, that could be the way the person envisions how to do something. And granted, there are certain guidelines or things that just don't work, but I just feel that it takes several experiences for you to be able to build your own way of doing your own way of doing makeup. And you can't copycat because that's not what art is. Like, art isn't, we're not computers. I mean, well, you know, technically we're not computers. So it's not, you know, you input this plus this and you're going to get that. That's not the way, you know, we should operate. And I honestly would be, like, how did you feel with that experience? Because I would be a little upset if I went to one person's class and they're teaching me how to do something straight from a book.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
you know, because I took the class along with my sister. You know, I've been to several classes throughout the years, and it's so obvious whether they tell you or not that this person has studied Kevin's book. And to be honest with you, most of them told you.
What?
And I don't know if that was something, you know, that was supposed to make us as students excited. I know most of us own the book.
Right.
You know what I mean? So we all can kind of read it for ourselves, practice that, his way of doing things or what have you. I really don't know their reasoning for telling and actually pretty much teaching the same things. But that didn't necessarily concern me because, you know, like I said, I have the book and I can look at the book and see that.
Right.
The thing that does concern me is that I'm saying to myself, okay, they took this from this book. Okay, so then what are they going to do that's theirs from them? Or, you know, or what are they going to do where they show me, okay, they took the same steps or the same technique, but did they put their spin on it? You know, like I was looking for something extra. Like, okay,
right.
It's okay that you got the basics from his book, that, you know, that
right.
you learned that from his book, but what else, you know, what else
Absolutely.
Are you going to show me? That
Absolutely.
Was kind of
you
my
know
thing.
What? And this is where I go, this is goes back to one of my earlier points. There is a place for everyone in this industry because there are some people who really should not be teaching because they can't leave that impression or that give me something more with people. Now, I'm not saying that some people shouldn't be teaching. I think what I'm trying to say is that it does take a special type of person to really educate someone and to inspire someone in a way that they can take material and pass that on to someone else. I personally don't believe that everyone can do that because if that was the case, then I think that, you know, I don't know. I just really feel that, yes, I've read Kevin's book. Yes, I've taken Danessa Myrick's class at, you know, in D.C. Yes, I have a DVD from, I can't even remember, some artist that sold the DVD and I bought it because I just wanted to see what she was talking about. And then, you know, yes, I've seen several times how Sam Fine contours. Yes, I've seen how Billy B, you know, has done makeup, John Hennessy, you know, I've actually talked to, you know, Rennie in the D.C. area about how he does makeup, you know, and contours and things of that nature. And all of that is great, but all of those experiences now come to, you know, now bring me to where I am and how I contour. I couldn't,
right.
I honestly couldn't say that so-and-so, I do makeup like so-and-so. I mean, I could say, you know what, I learned this one particular thing in Sam's class, or, you know, I learned this at, you know, from another experience, or, you know what, I learned this in my light, you know, I learned this in my stage makeup class when we talked about shadows and spheres and things of that nature. That, to me, you know, would make more sense and can be appreciated from a student's, you know, point. But I think as an educator, it doesn't really, and not saying that you have to have your own style, but I just feel like you can't just say, oh, I've read this book and I've done it 5,000 times, so now this is it. Like, I feel like, you know, we are here to pass along information, but I just really feel that every experience, you know, and every experience that people have should shape their makeup style.
Absolutely. Because you're taking everything that you've learned and
right.
you're processing that, you're thinking about that, and then
right.
you're figuring out how to make it your own.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Once,
and I know
once you're educated on techniques and once you understand why things work the way that they work, it's easy to take someone else's technique and use it with what you know to be right and make it your own. Because sometimes, again, people are doing things just because it looks fabulous that way. I mean, there was a certain period of time, you know, late 80s, early 90s, throughout the 90s, that you did makeup a certain way because, you know, we were using film back then. And, you know, everybody was highlighted down the center of their face and under the eye. You know, everybody used something really light and bright and 12 shades lighter than, you know, the model's complexion to make them, you know, to highlight them. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
But as technology changed and as you grew as an artist, you knew that it didn't have to be that darn light to be bright, you know?
Exactly.
And you knew how to change it for the camera as well.
Exactly. So I just, you know, and especially when you see artists, you know, say, you know, you'll be in a class and people get down to the point of like, oh, my God, what brush did you use? Or, you know, what product is that? I mean, granted, all that stuff is somewhat important, but what's really important is sitting there watching how that person moves, you know, watching how that, you know, the product, how they blend it onto the skin and listening to the information that they're providing. I actually took a class with a really well-known makeup artist, very, very, very beautiful work. And, you know, she wasn't very talkative. She, you know, she was, you know, she was like, I have so much information to give. I'm not very talkative, but I know that people would benefit from learning from me. And so that was my key right there. Like, it's not about what she says. It's not even about what product she uses. I want to see how she moves, how she, you know, what her hands are doing, how she's looking at the model, where her light is. Like, those are the types of things that, for me as an artist, I want to pick up and try to incorporate into my work. I could care less about the product because I have plenty of products to
use.
I need to know what is she doing, what is her thought process, or, you know, and that to me, it, and so granted, you know, as the class went on, she got better and she got more comfortable because these were, you know, some of her first classes. But she's just an amazing artist, and I learned a lot from her simply by just listening to what she was saying, but also by just watching her. And so that's why when people get on Facebook and they ask about the 75,000 products that someone used, I'm like, how are you really learning from this situation? Because you can go home and take those products and still not know what you're doing.
Still not know what to do with them.
You know,
exactly.
So that's why, you know, these these opportunities where, you know, at the makeup shows or when people, you know, make their rounds around the country and come visit, you know, I've heard someone say, well, I done heard Sam Fine speak, you know, about so many times. I'm not going to hear him speak. And I think to myself, you know, I've heard Sam Fine speak. Me and Sam Fine have had lunch together. I mean, I would love to, you know, have the time to sit and just watch him do makeup again. Because me being in the game for almost 10 years, I'm still going to learn something. And if I don't learn something, I'm going to confirm something that I do on set. Like, oh, that's when he does it and it works for him and that's what I already do. Oh, I done made it. You know, like those are the types of experiences that people need to really value in order to make sure that they are learning and they're growing. And so I really, you know, it's not about copying what he does, but it's about just picking up on little things that if he's been doing this for X amount of years and that works and that's what it looks like, well, let me try that let me try this and mix it with that so now I'm going to do it like this.
Well, part of the reason why people aren't really, you know, going through the process and experiencing this process, you know, as we call it, they're not experiencing all that is because everybody who comes out and starts doing makeup, you know, they want to be a celebrity artist, you know. They want to do celebrities. They want to be considered the next Sam Fine or whoever. You know, nobody's taking the time to really learn anything, and nobody's taking the time to do the darn work. If you don't do the darn work, there ain't going to be no process.
Exactly.
You know,
And you know what's very important about that is that it takes time. And I literally was talking to someone earlier. I was so offended by someone who said to me, oh, well, I thought that you'd be working with celebrities by now. And I was like, well, first of all, I pay my rent and I pay my student loan bills and I'm able to buy makeup for my kid and live somewhat comfortably, so I think I'm doing okay.
just that
because
doesn't put
I'm
you
not...
at the top of your game either. Working with a celebrity does not put you at the top of your
no,
game.
No, it doesn't. And once that celebrity is done with their stint, or if they're not really, you know, in the limelight, they're not going to be paying you to follow them around. And so, you know, it was one of those things where there's so many things to do in this industry, and that's why when I say when I came to New York, I had all these ideas about what I was going to be doing and this, that, and the fourth, but you really don't know till you get here, you know? And so I had to learn about all these opportunities and things I can do to diversify my income as a freelance artist. And, you know, and it's very, very important that people realize that it's not all about who the client is. It really is about, do you have a career? Like, do you have a job that you go to every day? Are you, you know, are you doing things to learn and grow? Are you doing things that's going to be relevant a year or two from now? So that to me is really where the, you know, where people need to be focused. Is not about who the client is, but about doing a great job and having longevity.
Right. That's right. Absolutely. Absolutely.
I just have I just have to say this because it was I wanted to laugh while you all were talking, but I was like, my sister got so caught up in what she was saying. I think she got a little hot there because I was, like I was saying in the chat room, I was telling Jennifer to get her because she was using improper English. And she says, there ain't going to be no darn
process. Right. Well, you know, sometimes,
didn't get caught up. I said it how I meant it.
Right. But, you know, but that's the passion, you know, and I'm very passionate about, you know, I'm just very passionate about doing the best thing, doing the not necessarily doing the right thing, but doing what's best for you. And I really had to start enjoying the process. I was so focused on, well, I need to be doing this, and I need to be doing that, and so-and-so's doing this, and why am I not doing that? Let me, you know, what I need to be doing to do that? And I was like, Brandilyn, everything is in divine order. What is for you is for you. And if you aren't focused on what you're doing, you're going to, like you said, miss the process. Everything that I've done up until this point, up until this very day, has shaped how I'm able to go on set or how I'm able to work backstage. Or, you know, it was a wonderful feeling when I went to learn the track at Evita, and I'm running into people that I worked with 5 years ago. That's not even about doing makeup, but that's about the fact that I was about to graduate from college, and he had just graduated from high school, and now we're both backstage working with Ricky Martin and Michael Severus. Like, that to me is where the real moment is, because everything that we've done has brought us to this point. Every experience I've had, and this is not just experience, like life experience, but every makeup, wig, hair, you know, everything that I've done for my career has brought me to that point. I couldn't just walk off the plane, you know, backstage at a Broadway theater. That just doesn't, you know, that doesn't work for everybody, and it doesn't work for most people. And so I found great joy in, you know, I was just graduating from college. We were in summer stock in Wichita, Kansas, working at a theater, and now here we both are, you know, working backstage or doing what we need to do to maintain a successful career in New York City, which is a very expensive and difficult place to live. And to me, that's where the process, that's when you can stop, you know, stop and say, everything that I've done was worth it. Even if some things were a failure, or even if some things didn't work out or what have you, every experience from that moment that we met, you know, 5 years ago has brought us to this point now. And so I have to appreciate the process and everything that I've learned to help build my career and help build, you know, my, you know, just my, what I can bring to the industry. Everything is going to pay for, you know, everything is happening for a reason so that I can be that person. And I can't worry about being like someone else or worried about their career or what they're doing. You know, I can just worry about myself and making sure I'm making the best decisions for myself.
Right. Absolutely.
So now, that's the process that we're all talking about.
Before we come to a close, I think this is JK, maybe. Let's see. Hello?
Hello, ladies. How are you?
Hi,
hello.
JK.
Yes, it's me. But I didn't put myself in the queue. All of a sudden, the machine just said, you're in the queue.
Oh, okay. So you didn't want to
do it. Hi, Brandilyn.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Pretty good.
I came up with a question. What are your future goals as far as makeup and makeup artistry?
My future goals, I talked about this pretty early on the call, but I'll say it again because there's nothing wrong with putting things out there in the universe. My future goals, I would like to be more of a beauty expert, on-air beauty expert. I would like to either be, you know, writing a book or, you know, providing consulting to brands and product development. So that's where I definitely see my career going. But I still will always do some of the dirty work or actually do the makeup, but I definitely would like to see my career evolve more into an expert status where I'm able to influence maybe trends and provide, you know, provide beauty and makeup tips and tricks for the masses and providing information to encourage women as well as educate them.
Wonderful. All right. Wonderful. Nice listening to you, ladies. You know, I was trying to ease in without being on the call. I don't know what happened because I haven't touched my phone. Sitting here listening to you all. Love y'all.
Love you too.
Oh, it was so great talking to you. Take care.
All right.
Okay. And Jen James, did you have something you wanted to say?
I have a question if Brandilyn didn't mind answering. Hey, Brandilyn.
Hi, Jennifer. How are you?
I'm good. It's so good to hear your voice and to hear you talk about your expertise and your experience and how hard you work. I think a lot of people don't get that. It's a lot of hard work to, you know, get to do some of the things you wanted to fulfill your dreams. I love to hear you speak on that. I'm very proud of you. I'm glad I know you. I'm glad I met you when I met you. I'm just loving seeing all the things that you're doing. But I have a question that's kind of regional. Now, we're homegirls. We're both from Detroit. I have at least 6 toes in New York. You know, I do my thing back and forth.
Right.
And I have a question. Do you notice a regional difference in the perspective of young or inexperienced intermediate makeup artist comparing New York to the Midwest? Anything that might aid either of the locations to kind of move things forward and to not be kind of stuck in the regional mind frame?
Okay, let me make sure I understand your question. So is it more so how other makeup artists view the – or is it more so how, just in general, how we view makeup artists, you know, that have a more, that have more of a home base? Like, is that what we're, I'm trying to make sure I understand the question.
Let me go back. I'll shorten it.
Okay.
Since you're busy, you're from Detroit, so you know the Midwest market very well. But you've been in New York for some years, and you've really put your stamp out there, and you have plans to do a lot more. Meeting different makeup artists, you already know so many of the ones from the Midwest, and then you've come to get to know the mind frame of the intermediate experience makeup artists in New York. Do you see any kind of differences, or are all of the younger artists kind of on the same page in terms of not getting a few things?
Well, I think it's coming from Detroit, I think that some people are very limited in their view of things, and that's okay if that's where you would like to stay, if you know. But I think that it will only help your your skills if you look at, you know, if you really take in as much information from everywhere. And I feel that since coming to Detroit, since coming to New York, my own person, everything has just expanded. Like, what I think, I think that just comes with maturity. I mean, I moved when I was 25 and everything, but I also think that it is, if you're only thinking about makeup within the few blocks of where you live, and I mean few blocks meaning just that region, you are limiting yourself, period. And so, you know, if that's okay with you and your aesthetic, then that's fine. But don't get upset when you can't move past that if you haven't taken the time and the opportunity to really take in all the information you can from all over. And I think that you hear a lot of artists talk about, oh, I used to live in Atlanta and I used to do makeup like this, but when I moved to New York, I had to start doing makeup like this. That is very much so a reality. Now, for me, I think that because I started traveling very early in my career, I never really got caught up in, well, this is what we do in Detroit, or this is what we do in the Midwest, because I was always somewhere else. I was always in Toronto. I was always in Detroit. I mean, I was always in New York. I was, you know, going back and forth to L.A., so I never really got stuck there. And I think that even the girls that I worked with at the Mac counter in Ann Arbor was very helpful in making sure that, you know, and Ann Arbor is a little bit different because it's a little bit more diverse, but I think that, you know, you have to study what's, and I think the social media makes it a little easier, but you still have to push yourself even further to make sure that you are noticing that you're not just doing makeup how people in your area want you to do makeup, because, you know, as an artist, you can teach them or you can influence them that this is what is acceptable now, or, you know. And so I think that when you look at artists that are from a particular area, if, you know, and we see this online all the time, the people, well, this is how I'm able to make my money is by servicing clients. You have to service your client, whoever they are, whatever their demographic is, you have to do that. But as an artist, you should always stay true to who you are and make sure you're going above and beyond that. And so I think that being here in New York, you know, and New York has their limited scope too. I mean, Manhattan or Fashion Week or, you know, your agency represented type of work, you know, that level of work is very limited. They're still very, you know, grouped areas here, even in the New York area, where people do makeup a certain way, but that's not going to fly when it comes to the industry. So it doesn't really matter that you're in the Midwest or that you're in the South, or, you know, you still have to make sure you know what's accepted on the grander scale. Wherever that grander scale is, you know, don't, if you want to just be a bridal makeup artist in your area and make all the money from that, then that's one thing. But if you would like to aspire to do other things, or if you don't know why your makeup looks a certain way because, you know, you look at something in Essence or you look at something in Vogue and you don't know why your makeup doesn't look like that, maybe because you haven't started to train your eye and teach yourself that there's a different aesthetic that you need to rise to. I hope that makes sense.
Oh, you made so much sense. Thank you.
Okay, I hope it makes sense. And I really, you know, I really want people to know that, you know, that I just feel like you have to make sure you're able to do makeup for your client. So that's best believe is, you know, if I get someone that calls me and they want their makeup done like this, I can do it because I make sure that I study different types of styles of makeup. But I know that when it comes to Brandilyn and what I want to be known for, I keep that very, 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 very focused. So I don't. And so if you notice, I don't post pictures of everything I do makeup on because that may not be what I want to be known for.
Exactly.
So I love the fact that people post pictures all day long of their makeup work. I think that's fabulous. And there are some artists who are very consistent with everything that they post. And I do the same as well. And I do a lot of production work, so I don't get the opportunity to take pictures like that. But I know that when I do get a chance to be on in the studio or on set and I do something that I'm able to take a picture of, if it doesn't meet where I'm going with my career, it doesn't get posted. Because
thank
I don't
you,
want
ma'am.
That to
thank
be
you, ma'am.
It doesn't, because it doesn't match my brand. So so that's why, if you notice, most people may see that I'm moving more to educating and encouraging women to step outside their box, because that's why I'm moving to in my career, because I want to be more of an expert in this, that, and the fourth. Now, of course, I'll still consistently do makeup, and I, you know, you'll see that as my career goes on, but I'm not posting pictures that doesn't reflect my brand and where I'm going. And sometimes people get caught up into what people post. And really,
right.
It's not about what people post, because there's a lot of people who do amazing work who are represented by some of the best agencies, and they don't post anything. Why? Because it's on their agency website. So sometimes people need to get off of Facebook and do some Google searches for makeup agencies and for product developers or for, you know, artists that are doing bigger and better things, so that you can see what's going on with their work, not just what comes through your timeline or Twitter, because some things that I love aren't on Twitter. They're not on Facebook. So I have to go out and seek those London agencies, or I have to seek, you know, or I have to stay at the movie theater and watch the credits and get that person's name, and then I Google them when I get home. You know, like, those are the types of things that people need to start making sure that they do, because everything is not going to just come, you know, at your fingertips. So that's how you're able to step outside of where you are just recently and really see what's going on.
Awesome.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, thank you so much, Brandon. And we've really enjoyed speaking with you tonight. Lots of good stuff.
Yes, and it's so funny because I still never met you two ladies in person. So now we really have to make this happen, because I've talked to you guys on the phone.
We're
going to
fix that. Yeah. Well, it, you know, it's funny because there's a lot of people in the chat room or listening by phone who we haven't met and would love to meet. So I think that's going to be one of our goals for the remaining of the year, to just make that happen. Sharantine, I know you're listening, but I've been saying for the longest, I'm coming to Philly, because you're very close. But you're very close when I'm in Maryland, but it seems like I'm not there long enough to even get to Philadelphia. So we're going to make it happen one way or another.
Yeah, definitely. I would love to do like a, you know, meeting people type of thing. And, you know, I try to reach out to people as much as I can when things are happening. But, you know, of course, like when the makeup shows happen and stuff, it's just so hectic. So
yeah.
Just let people know when wherever you guys are, you know, and I'll try to, you know, because I can easily get to Philly from New York. You know, I have family in South Jersey, so that's where I was born. So that would be great to meet up and actually put a, you know, a name with the, or not a name, but a face with the voice.
Right.
Because, I mean, I must say, yes. Beauty Talk is amazing. I constantly talk about it to other artists that I meet.
Thank you.
And I've been following you ladies for such a long time, and because I'm not involved in film, which is like the one area, well, special effects too, but I kind of have dabbled in that somewhat in school, but film is the one area that I have not had any experience in, so I really love listening to you all and talk about different things so that I can learn and be prepared for when that opportunity comes for even myself. So it's such a valuable resource, and I'm really thankful that you ladies have this for people.
Well, we thank you so much for saying that, and we thank you for your support. But, you know, as I was listening to you throughout this whole conversation, it's funny that you said that, because I was saying to myself, you know, listening to all the, your different experiences, and I'm like, gosh, she's so ready for film. So I just think it's just a matter of time.
Yeah, that's what I said too. I just turned in some more paperwork to the union because they are, you know, they're on me because I didn't have this, I didn't have that. So now I'm like, now I have everything y'all done asked me for. Now,
well, you know,
let me
I'm surprised. I'm really surprised that you are not in the union with a Broadway card.
Well, that's what I'm waiting for. That's what I'm waiting
okay.
for now. Yes.
Okay.
Because
I
back
got
when
you.
I applied,
okay.
I didn't have. See, and that's what I mean about you may want something, but it just may not be what you need at that time. I was trying to get in even before I got into the union. I mean, before I started working at the Lion King and Mary Poppins, and they were saying, you know, I didn't have enough days and I needed to do more work. And I was like, more work? Like, I've been working, you know, Juilliard and everything like that. And so I just said, okay, fine. And I just that was when I had to start being more positive and just really speaking things into existence. And I didn't know then. I think that was in, like, May. And then finally the supervisor for Lion King called me in August. And, you know, I went in for my interview. But I still didn't even start working until October. So, like you say, it's just a matter of time. Like, things take time.
Yeah, it does.
You know? Things take time, and so I just have to really learn how to be patient. And I mean, we live in a world of immediate gratification, so it's hard. But
yeah, and I think you will appreciate when you do get that card. You're going to get way more work, and I think you're going to appreciate the fact that you've had those experiences once you get in, versus
Absolutely. Getting
in before having those experiences. So
exactly.
I think you will appreciate it a lot more.
Exactly. That's where I'm at now, because everything has happened, you know, like I said, for a reason. I may not have known then, but I know as things start to happen, like, oh, that's why it didn't happen then, because I needed to get to wait, you know.
Right. Absolutely.
So I hope if anyone has learned anything from this conversation, at least with me, is that, you know, I am in the thick of it. Like, I understand, like, this is not as glamorous as it may look. So I can empathize with people when you talk about hard work. And just like you have I have my friends who are now getting their, you know, getting out of residency and being doctors and things of that nature. That was their hard work to get to where they are, and this is the exact same type of hard work. You know, it's just a different field.
Right. Absolutely.
So.
Absolutely. I just want to briefly mention, and I guess we should have did this in the beauty news, but I just wanted to mention one of my clients and friends, Sonia Jackson Miles. She's a new author, and she has a book entitled, and we've had her on maybe over a year ago, and she talked about the Sister Accord. I don't even know what to say it is. It's not necessarily a group, but it was a declaration that she had written. It's called The Sister Accord. Well, now she has a book under the same title, and it just talks about women and our relationships with each other and how we should be supporting and uplifting each other. And it's called 51 Ways to Love Your Sister.
Ooh.
And it's by Sonia Jackson Miles. Again, she's a friend of mine, and she's a client. And she's a VP at Procter & Gamble. But I just kind of wanted to throw that out there. So if you guys Google her online or even go to Barnes & Noble, her book is now in Barnes & Noble, which I'm excited about. But just wanted to kind of briefly mention that.
Oh, yeah, I will definitely look it up, because it's really funny. You know, backstage, there's always good conversations going on. And the other week, someone asked me, they're like, do you – and I think people were talking about the 50 Shades of Grey. And and so someone turned to me, they're like, oh, do you read? And I was like, I read, but I read self-help books. And it's the truth, because, you know, I'm not really into the whole escaping by reading. You know, a lot of people read, like, you know, Harry Potter and, you know, The Hunger Games and stuff like that. And I've always envied that. Like, I have some really good friends. They're like, if you can't read Harry Potter, you can't be friends with us. And I'm like, I've tried. It doesn't work. I read self-help books. Like, you know, you give me a Joel Osteen. You give me, I mean, of course you give me the Bible. You know, you'll give me, you know, I have Russell Simmons' book, you know, Donald Trump, but I mean, just, you know, some local women that are from Detroit that have written books that just keep me uplifted, those are the types of things I need. I just, like, you can find me reading those. So I will definitely check that out because that's what works for me. I would love to read. I read the Harry Potter. I read the first book, like, years ago, and I read, like, two chapters. And I thought it was fabulous, but I just couldn't really get into it. Now, I watch the movies with my friends, but and I'm more for the production of the movie anyway. Like, oh, that was a really great thing they did, you know, or that was great how they did the hair and the make, you know, and with the costume. And I'm looking at it from that perspective at least, so I can watch it with them. But I'm glad that you shared that because I feel that Beauty Talk is an online. It's very inspirational, and I look forward to it every Sunday. And sometimes I get sad when I can't make it, or you know, I'm glad there's an archive. But I also look forward to listening in. And so thank you for sharing. I definitely will check her out and get it.
Thank you so much for that, and because it's very simple. It's one of those simple books to read, but yet, you know, it's so uplifting, and it's I think it's just great for us to learn how to interact with one another, women interacting with one another, and like I said earlier, uplifting and just supporting each other. And I said all that because I'm really grateful for the support that we get with this show. So I just want to give shout outs to Sharantina and Jennifer and Santara. I thought I saw Renee. Who else did I see in the chat room? I know Charlene Easter was on the phone. JK was on the phone. A couple of other people. And I know I see some of the numbers, some of the callers. I see some of these numbers all the time. I just don't know who it is. So maybe one show we may just have people just at least come on the line just for long enough just to say who they are.
Because
even if they don't want to ask questions or talk, just to say hello and where they're calling from, because I just think it's important to know who's listening. But we do appreciate you all very much. So again, thank you, Brandilyn, and just keep us posted on all that you're doing.
Absolutely. And you know what? This was one of my goals to make it onto Beauty Talk, and I think we had a great conversation. I can go check
this
off
the
list, right?
We really did. There you go. You've achieved one of your goals.
And, you know, and I must say, you know, I would love to come back, you know, a year or two from now, and I probably will have so many more things to tell you guys or talk to you guys about. So
absolutely. I mean, you never know. You never know what you will experience within 2 or 3 months from now. You may have a whole lot to talk about. You never know.
Oh,
no,
that's so, like, just saying now. You just saying something I like to hear.
So keep up the good work and let us know what you're doing. And we'll try our best to bring you guys the best every Sunday night. So you all just keep praying for us. And we'll keep trying to do what we do. If you enjoyed tonight's show, go out and mark it as a favorite here on Blog Talk Radio. If you'd like to join us over on the Beauty Talk with Illusions page for a few minutes, I guess I'll be over there for just a few minutes before I have an early call, so I'm not going to be on too long. But if you'd like to join us over there, we'll be over there for a few minutes to chat. But again, just thank you so much for your support, and everyone continue to be beautiful and blessed. Have a great night.
Bye.
Bye-bye.